Back when Stacy was still teaching, she's retired now, but if you didn't know that, by the way, just ask her, she'll tell you. From time to time, I would go on campus for lunch and sit there and have lunch with her and her team. And most times, even though they had duty-free lunch, which if you're not a teacher or married to one, that means they didn't have to do lunch with the kids. Somebody else did that, which was a great blessing for the teachers, maybe for the kids too, I don't know. But we would sit there and they invariably would talk shop. And I understood almost none of it, because teachers use their own language. It's English of some sort. Their own acronyms, their own phrases. But that's all a part of that particular industry, right? Every industry has its terminology. And that's important, by the way, because folks who are working in the same industry, they need to have this ratified set of words that have a particular meaning so that they can communicate effectively. And so I brought a couple of short lists today. One is the aviation industry, Lee. IFR, I think that's instrument flying rules or flight rules. VFR, that's the visual part. AGL, that's above ground level, which is important with planes in particular. A deadhead, if I remember correctly, a deadhead refers to a crew member who is basically being transported on a flight but is not operating that flight or working that flight. Squawk, that has something to do with communication. Block time, no idea. TBO, FBO, check ride, yaw, roll, skid, slip, and on it goes. Or pilots and those in the aviation industry, they have their own language. You know, we have it in my business too, by the way. A lot of ologies and isms in my business. Words like Christology. I like this one. This one's kind of new to me, by the way. Theoformity. Use that to impress your family. There's cosmology and cosmogony. There's eminence, spelled with an A instead of an I in the middle. There's ecclesiology, there's eschatology, there's theodicy, theophany, docetism. There's lots of phrases stolen from German, by the way. Sitz im Leben is probably the only one I can really remember, the situation in life. Kenosis, and on they go. But the point is, words are important. We get a lot from words. It's how we talk to each other for the most part, although there is nonverbal communication, obviously. There's tonal communication, obviously. But words are important because it allows human beings to communicate with one another. And there's a lot of power in words, or there can be. Because not only do words inform us, words can move us. Words can bring us to laughter. They can bring us to tears. Most of you know I'm a book rereader. And one of the books I reread every year is Lonesome Dove. I know a lot of you know the book. A lot of you know was it Tommy Lee Jones and Robert Duvall, late 80s miniseries, which is fantastic as well. But that book I read, and I laugh and I cry, and it's all just black words on a white piece of paper. But words have that power. They affect us. They can bring us joy. They can bring us grief. They can carry with them anger, all sorts of emotions. You know, Scripture talks a lot about itself. Have you ever noticed that before? Scripture affirms Scripture over and over and over again, which in itself is important. And then we get to a place like John chapter 1, John's Gospel, where John uses the word word, kind of in a double entendre. It's actually more than double, by the way, but we won't get into all of that, to talk about the truth that Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word is powerful. The Word is beyond important. The Word affects us. The Word reveals God to us. The Word transforms us. The Word shapes us. The Word convicts us. The Word moves us. The Word perfects us. And one more that's not in your notes if you're following along this morning. The Word saves us. And so let's listen to Peter's blessing and praise at the beginning of his first letter and see what he says, not necessarily directly, by the way, but surely indirectly about the Word. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for the sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Word, by the way. According to his great mercy, he, the Word, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Word from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, in glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace, how did they do that, by the way? They spoke, but they also wrote what? Words. That prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them. How was that revealed to them, by the way? By the Word of God. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. 4 weeks ago today, if my math is right, that during this moment, this sermon, all we did was read Scripture together. Do you remember that? It was Easter Sunday, I believe, wasn't it? It's all we did. I think I had two sentences at the end that were for me, and that was it. The rest of it was just Scripture threaded together. And that meant a lot to every one of us, did it not? Do you know why? Because the Word is important. The Word is powerful. The Word changes us. It forms us. It transforms us. It sustains us. It matures us or perfects us. It saves us. So let's let Paul's blessing speak to us also about the Word, maybe not necessarily directly, but surely indirectly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, that's the Word, remember, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons and daughters, of course, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Whose blood is that? The Word's. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will. And how did He do that? Through the Word. According to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard, here's the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Word came to us. Do you know what that means? The Word came to us. That means that we have been rescued. We've been rescued from a place of darkness out of which we would never have found our way. But because the Word came to us, we've been rescued. Because the Word came to us, we have been given access to God through Jesus Christ, the Word. Because the Word came to us, we also have continual access to the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is for the sake not only of our forgiveness, but of our continuing, for our continuing sanctification in Him. Because the Word came to us, we are His people, we are His children, we are His possession. We are beneficiaries of His perfect work. And we are equipped, we are empowered, we are enabled to live full and abundant lives in this place while we wait for that final moment of perfection. Because the Word came to us, we have been cleansed. We've been cleansed in ways that we could never have been cleansed otherwise. Because the Word came to us, we are royalty. We are children of a holy and majestic God who live in a perfect and permanent covenant that, as Peter and Paul both told us just a moment ago, that guarantees for us an eternal inheritance with God. Because the Word came to us, we're defined by Jesus Christ. It's not what I used to be. It's not what I used to do. It's not my history that identifies me anymore. It's the Word who came. In Him, I'm identified with and by Him. Because the Word came to us, we've been chosen by God through the blood of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring glory to God by being God's representatives in this world that He has created. Because the Word came to us, it is our responsibility to live lives that are evidence of the amazing power of the work of Jesus Christ. Three more. Because the Word came to us, we have the promise of life beyond this life. We are victorious, and we can always be confident in who we are in Jesus Christ. Because the Word came to us, we are continually being recreated by God, transformed by God through Christ in the power of His Holy Spirit to be the people that He desires. And then, finally, not most, not least important, because the Word came to us, we have the opportunity for a baptismal cleansing. We have the opportunity to join the life of Christ. We have the opportunity through that baptismal beginning of regeneration, I should say, to experience a life that is full of joy, that is full of hope, that is full of promise. John tells us that the Word came to us. Maybe you today need to take hold of that Word that came to you. Maybe today you're a person who needs to experience immersion, that baptismal beginning of a regeneration journey that God in Christ, through the power of His Spirit, again, will put you on for the rest of your life here and then in eternity to enjoy that side by side with the Word who saved you.